Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
It's going to be the text that we look at this evening. As we think about the rich young ruler and some of the barriers that stood in his way, in between him and eternal life, and also think about some of the barriers that often stand in between ourselves and doing the things that we ought to be doing. There's a movie that came out in 2011 called 7 Days in Utopia. Not a very well-known movie. I would assume it's because it was rated G, it's family-friendly, it's not the type of movie that's going to get a lot of attention, not going to receive any Oscar awards anytime soon. So it's very little known, but it's a good movie. I was kind of bored one night, and I was looking on Netflix for something to watch, and I saw that it's about golf, so I like sports, so that got my attention. And then I saw that Robert Duvall was in it, so that got my attention, so I watched it, and it's worth watching. I'd recommend it to you. But the story of the movie, it's about a man named Luke, a young man. He's just become a professional golfer. He's about to play on his very first professional tournament. But he's got some things that are standing in his way from keeping him from having success as a golfer. He'd been pushed towards golf from childhood. He'd never really had an opportunity to make his own decision as to whether or not golf or whether or not that was the direction he wanted for his life. So he gets on his very first tournament, professional tournament. His father is his caddy, and he just blows up, has a horrible round. Him and his father get in an argument. His father walks off, and everybody's wondering if he'll ever have a second chance to play again as a professional golfer. Well, after the tournament's over, he's driving home, and he has an accident, and he gets stranded in Utopia, Texas for 7 days. And while he's here in Utopia, Texas, he meets a former golfer named Johnny, who helps him out with his game. But most of all, Johnny shows him what's missing in his life. He helps him to recognize the barriers that are standing in between himself and the success that he wants to realize. But the pivotal scene in the movie is at the end of those 7 days in Utopia. Johnny takes Luke to a cemetery, and he's dug a hole in the ground, and he asks Luke to write down on paper all of the lies that he's believed, all of the things that are standing in the way of him realizing success. And he asks him to bury those things once and for all. After I saw the movie, I immediately started thinking about the rich young ruler, another young man who had some barriers standing in the way in between himself and where he wanted to be spiritually. Tonight I'd like for us to look at some of the statements in Matthew's account of the rich young ruler, Matthew 19, and try to make some applications to ourselves and try to remove some of the barriers and bury those barriers that stand in between ourselves and Jesus. I'd also like to take the opportunity tonight to show a video of our mission trip to Panama that we made in January. Austin Simmons was kind enough to put this video together for us. And I want to allow this to be the illustration for the sermon. I want to allow this to be a contrast with the life of the rich young ruler and the life as we ought to be living it. In January, we had 24 folks go to Panama. 21 of those are members here at the Graymere Church. But it's interesting to notice that all of us are busy. We've all got big, important things going on in our lives. But it's a special thing to see folks take a week out of their busy lives, out of their busy schedules, and to make time to go and teach people, teach children about Jesus, and take time to knock on doors and conduct Bible studies in the homes with those who are willing to listen, and to help construction on a church building so that the brethren there can more effectively reach their own people. So let's begin our study tonight looking at Matthew 19, verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" What good thing must I do in order to be saved? What must I do in order to have eternal life? It's an amazing experience for any preacher, for any Christian, for when we encounter a person with an open heart, someone who comes to us saying, "I want to know what the Bible says," and willing to obey what they read in the Bible. Unfortunately, usually this does happen, but usually it takes a little more work on our part to cultivate contacts who are willing to listen to the gospel. But it does sometimes happen that folks come out of the blue and knock on our door and want to talk to us about what they must do in order to be saved. A couple weeks ago, there was a young woman who came here to the church, and she knocked on the front door, and we studied with her. She was adamant that she believed that baptism was for the remission of sins, and the Bible said it, so she wanted to obey it. But she said she had called her denomination, and she'd called another denomination in town, but she couldn't find anyone who would baptize her because they didn't agree with what she was saying. So it was a great experience for us to have someone come and ask us, someone who already agreed with the things we were teaching, and come and ask us to assist her in obeying the gospel. However, what we normally see is not necessarily that question. What we normally see is folks who are not concentrating so much on eternal life, but concentrating more on this physical life. What we often encounter is a shortened version of that question, which is, what good thing shall I do that I may have? That I may have more of this world's goods, more of this world's riches. Self-centeredness is a characteristic. Seems like it's a trait of our society today. Everybody wants their satisfaction and their desires and their wants and their needs rather than to consider others before themselves. It seems like we can find self-centeredness in most every aspect of our society. It's a barrier standing in between some of us and Jesus as well. You think about marriages. Definitely in all unsuccessful marriages, I would say self-centeredness is at the core of the problems. We've got a problem in our society. Husbands and wives not willing to submit themselves to meet the needs of one another, but rather wanting first their own desires to be met. We need to help folks to overcome that barrier. We need to help wives to learn to submit to their husbands, because as the Bible says, it's that service to God, Ephesians 5:21. We need to help husbands overcome that barrier and make it a joyful submission by loving their wives as Christ also loved the church, Ephesians 5:25. Even when it comes to children today and the way in which we raise our children, it seems like self-centeredness sometimes gets in the middle of the way what we're teaching our children. Our children grow up in a world now where everybody wins, where nobody loses. We have them in soccer leagues where nobody loses because we don't want them to experience the difficulty, the adversity of not always winning. But they grow up today often being told you can have everything you want, but nobody has the right to tell you no. Nobody has the right to deny you of anything you want. As a result, we've got a lot of children with discipline problems. We've got a lot of disrespectful children, disrespectful to parents and to anyone in authority who attempts to deny them something they want. That's a stumbling block. That's a barrier that stands between a person or a child and Jesus. We need to start teaching parents that the Lord chastens, the Lord disciplines those He loves, Hebrews 12:6. We need to start teaching children to get back to honoring father and mother and obeying parents, Ephesians 6:1-3. Even if we look at our government, self-centeredness sometimes seeps into the lives of politicians as well. Often it seems like some politicians are out more to satisfy their own desires rather than to honor the will of the people. Often get frustrated when it's on the news. I wonder how many times do the Californians have to vote down homosexual marriage? Because every time they do, a homosexual judge overturns the vote. Because we've got politicians who are out to fulfill their own desires rather than to honor the will of people. Self-centeredness, it's a barrier that's likely affecting some of our lives. Spiritually speaking, there's likely some of us here tonight who are separated from Jesus because we've been thinking more about ourselves than we have been about His church and what we could do for Him. If it is the case that that's a barrier that we're struggling with tonight we need to bury that barrier and get to work for Him. Notice with me Matthew 19, verses 17 through 20, another statement that we see in this account. So He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth." What do I still lack? All of these things I've kept. The young man made one mistake. He overlooked one huge sin, one huge barrier that was in his life. And I think this is a struggle for us. Overlooking our own sins is often a barrier, an obstacle, a struggle that we're dealing with. Elders and preachers and leaders in the church, we're not immune from this. A lot of times we get so caught up in the do's and the don'ts of the Bible, sometimes we get caught up in pointing out everybody else's mistakes and what everybody else is doing wrong and judging others, that a lot of times we overlook the sins that we're struggling with ourselves. I think it's interesting to think about the humor that Jesus used in Matthew 7, verse 3, when he talked about this issue. When he said, why are you trying to pluck out the speck out of your brother's eye when you've got a log in your own eye? So often we struggle with that, overlooking our own sin. The rich young ruler, in his case, of course, the log that he had in his eye was his love of money. I don't think it was a sin for him to have money. Money's a great tool that can be used in service of the Lord. But apparently he had elevated his love of money greater than his love of Christ and greater than his willingness or desire to obey what the Lord said. So as the Lord's telling him all of these things that he needs to do or not to do, he's thinking, well, you know, I don't kill anybody. I'm not lying. I'm not stealing. I'm not running around on my wife. I'm treating my parents well. I'm trying to treat my neighbor well. Lord, I've done all of that. But he overlooked the one great sin that was in his life, and that was his love of money. It's very likely that some of us tonight are struggling with this barrier, too busy pointing out the flaws of others to even recognize the sin that's separating us from Jesus. If that's the case, if that's a barrier you're struggling with tonight, you need to bury that and get to work for the Lord. Let's notice verse 21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Go and sell what you have and follow me. Materialism is a barrier that a lot of us are dealing with. I think it might be the biggest struggle that we have as Christians is to overcome materialism. Even Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. A lot of us are struggling with this. A lot of us, we get so busy chasing this world's goods, so busy with work, so busy adding to our bank accounts that we're so busy we don't have time to do the things that we ought to be doing in service to the Lord. We could never consider getting active in the church locally. We could never consider going on a mission trip because we're too busy with the things of this world. I think one of the greatest privileges I have in working in mission work is the opportunity to try to encourage others to get involved in mission work. I love doing this. I love encouraging someone to go on the very first mission trip. I love taking people on their first mission trip. But the other side of that coin is a lot of times it's depressing because I get rejected a lot. I hear every excuse, every reason you can think of as to why someone cannot do mission work. Oh, well, I'm just too busy. I can't get... Can you imagine how am I going to get time off from work, a whole week off from work, in order to go down there? Sometimes I hear, well, do you understand how much money I lose if I leave for a week? Well, I think it's interesting to remember some of the things that Andrew was talking about this morning. Remember David, when he was offering a sacrifice, he would not offer unto the Lord that which cost him nothing. Sometimes we need to remember that it's going to take some sacrifice on our part in order to do the things that the Lord has commanded of us. For where our heart is, there our treasure will be also. There's so many barriers that's standing in between ourselves and Jesus. These are just a few that kind of come to mind as we read this text. But there's a lot of sin. There's a lot of things that as individuals we're struggling with. There's things that are preventing us from being the called out people that the Lord wants us to be. As a result, as we struggle with these barriers in our lives, a lot of times we lose our focus. We lose our focus. We stop thinking about the things that are most important, and we start spending our time on the trivial things. We get so upset over things that don't really matter. We get really upset over a scratch on the car. We get all bent out of shape if we get a stain on our new clothes. But we fail to recognize the sin that's staining our souls, the sin that's separating us from Jesus. Even inside the church, sometimes we lose our focus. We get so bent out of shape over things that don't matter. We get all upset about the preacher going 5 minutes, 10 minutes over. Well, I can't believe they let that guy lead singing tonight. Or I don't like those songs that he was leading. Or I wish they let him sing these other songs. Or man, I think we ought to renovate the church building to make it look like the church building over on the other side of town. So often we get so concerned with these things that don't really matter. It's as if we don't really care about the millions and millions of souls who are dying lost and are going to hell. I'd like for us to look at the video that Austin has made for us. And as we're thinking about this, let's think about the contrast of the life of the rich young ruler, where Jesus is number two in his life. And let's think about a life where Jesus and service to Him is number one. For the week in our campaign, we had six baptisms, six souls added to the Lord's body. From a mission standpoint, I think one of the greatest successes that we realized this year, one that wouldn't normally get a whole lot of attention, is the fact that for years and years we've been going to the same place on this campaign, and to the Bible School of the Americas, and they're having our VBS. But this year we went to another location, went to a congregation in David, Panama. We kind of changed our focus and started focusing on building local congregations. So it was interesting to get away from the school environment and go to a local congregation's environment. But we also added the aspect of doing local evangelism throughout the week. But one of the interesting things about this congregation we were working with was that they haven't had a local preacher for several years. They've basically had a group of leaders. They don't have an eldership yet, but they have a group of men who have stepped forward to lead this congregation. But while we were there and talking with them, they realized that all of these men who are leaders in that church, they have full-time jobs. They realized that local evangelism and education in that church were some things that needed more attention. And at the same time, we had Fernando Sanchez, who's a gospel preacher that Graymere supported for several years. He's a good evangelist, but he's kind of bounced around from different places throughout the years that we've supported him. And recently we've been talking to him about you need to identify a good location with potential where you can start establishing some roots. So it was interesting throughout the week as we kind of brought these two together, they kind of found a happy marriage. They realized that each one had some things that the other kind of needed. And by the end of the week, that congregation asked Fernando to move there and become their local preacher. So from a mission standpoint, I think that's one of the greatest successes, as a lot of times mission works just seem to go on and on and on. They just kind of tread water, don't really grow, they don't really get to an ending point. But it was nice to see us make a turning point, and Lord willing, that church will grow to the point that we can then move on and establish a new church and do it all over again. Look with me in Matthew 19, verse 19:22. Let's notice the response of this rich young ruler. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful because he loved his possessions more than he loved serving Christ. And a lot of times we struggle with this as well. We've all heard jokes about folks who think the hearse is going to carry a U-Haul behind it to their grave, but that's not the case. We can't take the things from this earth with us. In the scripture reading tonight, we read a portion of 2 Peter chapter 3, and we notice that in the day of the Lord, everything that constitutes our reality is going to be burned up. All of the material things that we spend all of this time seeking to accumulate, it's all going to be burned up. When we really think about it, the only thing that's really going to be left are souls. The souls of those we've won for Christ, or unfortunately, maybe the souls that we acted as if we couldn't have cared less about. But we need to reclaim our focus. We need to reignite our fire and start thinking about souls. We need to deny self and pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Talk to somebody about Jesus. But tonight, the first step, of course, is to think about ourselves and the barriers that stand in the way of us as individuals being the people that God wants us to be. So let's think about our own soul for just a moment. What is it that's standing in your way? You remember Luke in the movie I told you about, he had to bury all of those things that stood in his way. We need to do the same thing tonight. What is it that's holding you back from obeying the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Are you willing to confess that before us tonight? If so, why not repent of your sins and bury those sins in baptism this evening? Or maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but what is it that's holding you back from serving the Lord, from giving the Christian service that Jesus deserves? Why not bury those sins tonight, recognizing them and confessing them and letting us pray for you? Don't go away sorrowful as the rich young ruler did, but make the opposite response. Come forward and obey the gospel. Come forward and let us pray for your forgiveness. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if you need to respond, we invite you to do so right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.